"Who's he to lecture me about being out of bounds?" said Harry, in mild indignation as he folded up Sirius's letter and put it inside his robes. "After all the stuff he did at school?" "He's worried about you," said Hermione sharply, "just like Moody and Hagrid, so listen to them."
"No one's tried to attack me all year," said Harry. "No one's done anything to me at all."
"Except put your name in the Goblet of Fire," said Hermione. "And they must have done that for a reason, Harry. Snuffles is right. Maybe they've been biding their time. Maybe this is the task they're going to get you."
"Look," said Harry impatiently,
"let's say Sirius is right and someone stunned Crumb to kidnap Crouch. Well, they would have been in the trees near us, wouldn't they? But they waited till I was out of the way until they acted, didn't they? So it doesn't look like I'm their target, does it?"
"They couldn't have made it look like an accident if they'd murdered you in the forest," said Hermione.
"But if you die during a task..."
"They didn't care about attacking Crumb, did they?" said Harry. "Why didn't they just polish me off at the same time? They could have made it look like Crumb and I had a duel or something."
"Harry, I don't understand it either," said Hermione desperately. "I just know there are a lot of odd things going on and I don't like it. Moody's right. Sirius is right. You've got to get in training for the third task straight away. And you make sure you write back to Sirius and promise him you're not going to go sneaking off alone again."
The Hogwarts grounds never looked more inviting than when Harry had to stay indoors. For the next few days he spent all of his free time either in the library with Hermione and Ron, looking up hexes, or else in empty classrooms, which they sneaked into to practice. Harry was concentrating on the stunning spell, which he had never used before. The trouble was that practicing it involved certain sacrifices on Ron's and Hermione's part.
"Can't we kidnap Mrs. Norris?" Ron suggested on Monday lunchtime, as he lay flat on his back in the middle of their charms classroom, having just been stunned and reawoken by Harry for the fifth time in a row. "Let's stun her for a bit. Or you could use Dobby, Harry. I bet he'd do anything to help you. I'm not complaining or anything."
He got gingerly to his feet, rubbing his backside.
"But I'm aching all over." "Well, you keep missing the cushions, don't you?" said Hermione impatiently, rearranging the pile of cushions they had used for the banishing spell, which Flitwick had left in a cabinet. "Just try and fall backward."
"Once you're stunned, you can't aim too well, Hermione," said Ron angrily. "Why don't you take a turn?"
"Well, I think Harry's got it now, anyway," said Hermione hastily, "and we don't have to worry about disarming because he's been able to do that for ages. I think we ought to start on some of these hexes this evening."
She looked down the list they had made in the library.
"I like the look of this one," she said. "This impediment curse should slow down anything that's trying to attack you, Harry. We'll start with that one."
The bell rang. They hastily shoved the cushions back into Flitwick's cupboard and slipped out of the classroom.
"See you at dinner," said Hermione,
and she set off for Arithmancy while Harry and Ron headed toward North Tower and Divination. Broad strips of dazzling gold sunlight fell across the corridors from the high windows. The sky outside was so brightly blue it looked as though it had been enameled.
"It's going to be boiling in Trelawney's room. She never puts out that fire," said Ron as they started up the staircase toward the silver ladder and the trap door.
He was quite right. The dimly lit room was swelteringly hot. The fumes from the perfume fire were heavier than ever. Harry's head swam as he made his way over to one of the curtained windows. While Professor Trelawney was looking the other way, disentangling her shawl from a lamp, he opened it an inch or so and settled back in his chintz armchair so that a soft breeze played across his face. It was extremely comfortable.